Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here. But Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, and Dr. Stovall, our anxiety relief for the night, though. But, you know, the point we were making before the break, and Johnny, you led into this, you know, we've been trying to help people understand. We said these laws against CRT, against historical, there's no longer an existential threat, as Dr. Stovall said. But as the teachers are going back into the classroom, it truly now is. How do they prepare? And David, you were saying their preparation now is not hypothetical. They actually have to be prepared to do what? To say what? So when that angry parent comes in and says, "You made my child upset because you taught triangle trade and you showed a picture of a slave ship and that offended my third grader."
So when that parent comes, I would invite that parent to, let's look at how I actually taught it, right? Let's look at what we discussed. Let's look at how we engaged it. And if someone is upset, then let's look at the reasons as to why someone is upset. Are they upset because it's new? Are they upset because of the tragic and violent nature of it? Are they upset because they're seeing that it's still going on? And let's engage that. So I'm like keeping what you do open and accessible to folks, because again, that's where a lot of the conjecture happens, right? So they're teaching folks to hate whoever, right? And they're saying, no, well, let's look at this. Let's sit down and look what's in front of our faces and let's see what's happening here. And then let's engage that. So again, not getting into this kind of myth-making, but let's engage what has been submitted and what's in front of our faces. And if that gets somebody upset, let's look into why it got somebody upset.
Johnny, what do you think about it? I mean, you're working now directly with teacher ed students. That sound like sound advice to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we always talk about that. We've mentioned it on the show before, and Dr. Stovall's echoing that. And you know, the idea of like, we don't close our doors and teach. Open our doors and invite whatever the community is in to co-learn with young people what it means to be a healthy democratic citizen in a community that addresses anti-Blackness and a community that addresses these histories with the tools and the capacity building for young people to be able to address race, to be able to address racism, classism, sexism, all these inequalities. Because if we don't, then we don't move forward as a democracy. We don't honor and value diversity. And so working with young teachers, well, and I don't mean age-wise, I mean like new to the trade, and a lot of teachers honing their craft in this moment. Remember, it's the largest political uprising of all of our lifetimes. So there are veteran teachers who are coming to this saying, okay, I guess this is it. What do we do? And so it's all hands on deck. This is what it means to be. And I like some of the language that Dr. Stovall, you and Dr. Bettina Love and others leading us in this are offering in terms of what does it mean to be an abolitionist educator? What does it mean to be working on sharing truths so that there are the historical tools are in place for young people to address things like racism, sexism, classism, and to have more socially just democracies, for that to be a very real future.
And to demonstrate the places where we practice these things, yes. Right? So it's not just this theory thing, right? Where do we practice being just, right? Where do we practice a just moment? Where do we practice a just society? What is considered in this just society? How do we envision justice, right? So what does it mean to ask that of our students, right? What do we now think about as justice, right? Is it punitive? Is it transformative? Is it based on retribution? Is it based on healing, safety, calm, ease? So again, I think about CRT as this pathway into inquiry, right? It's a pathway to understand what has been removed and what people are trying to erase.
Well, I think about that, the trying to erase, and if you look really closely at these laws, it's not even, there's an erasure aspect to them, but there's also a reinforcement to what you started to saying. The original American myth needs to be re-entrenched and re-established. And this, for me, is the kind of interesting aspect to point this out from a way of having a dialogue. So you're mandating by law mythology in these laws, right? I mean, you're like, mm-hmm. What do you think? And people will look at me and go, no, we want history taught. I said, no, you're mandating mythology.
Right. And I think that's exactly right. Because if we are engaging historical accuracy, you're like, history isn't meant to be nice, right? History is meant to stand as history. Right. So we have to deal with whatever that history is, as painful as it might be. And this whole notion of, you know, we're worried that this is going to get people upset. We can't shift the historical record because we're worried about people being upset. Right. So this thing around now people asking for this shift and this mythology, because what does that mean? Exactly to your point, Tim, what does it mean when you're in a schoolhouse and you say, well, what if we talked about George Washington had a set of teeth that he picked from the Africans that he owned to make a set of dentures, right? What is it? Like, that's not David Stovall's conjecture. That is what George Washington did.
Yeah.
What if we think about Benjamin Franklin in his own autobiography, and he talks about the poisoning of indigenous people? Right. That's not Stovall's conjecture. Those are the words of Benjamin Franklin.
Right.
Right. What if we talk about Thomas Jefferson and his own conflict with owning people and still having this relationship with Sally Hennings, who he had a bunch of babies with?
Mm-hmm. Right?
So this thing around, it's not about running from this, but it's saying, look, history challenges us to deal with its contradictions, mm-hmm. right? And now, what does it mean to grapple with that? And if we're not grappling with contradictions and contestations, then to what extent are we learning?
Well, you know, and that, right? Donnie, I wanted to jump in because we had Dr. Jason Glass, the commissioner from Kentucky, on last week. And, you know, he made just actually a really simple point. Like you said, you know, if somebody's upset or uncomfortable, but isn't that truly what we're doing when we're learning? If we're not uncomfortable, if we're not, you know, kind of on an edge of going, whoa, that's kind of pushing me to think differently, it's like, well, then you're not learning anyway. So then I kind of took this. So these laws are absolutely laws against learning. So we are now outlawing learning in schools.
Right, right. And I mean, and that's the bizarro nature of this, right? We're literally in this moment where the protectionist state is saying, we need to hold on to our myths, because if we don't, then we'll see the year of 2020 happen again, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's the underlying current with this, right? Again, the threat is no longer existential. People rose up in the streets, to Johnny's point, in mass like we've never seen before in the Western Hemisphere. So now when we start to think about that, that threat is no longer existential. Mm-hmm. This is literally saying when enough folks get upset, there is very little you can do. So we need to actually create strategies to limit what questions people are asking, because if we don't, we're going to get what we just saw, and we didn't know what to do with that.
Mm. Johnny.
So as we're coming up on the half hour, but I gotta ask you this, because I know we're both big advocates of the youth, and I can't help but imagine and think, and I heard it right from the mouths of the youth, like, we're not in school, and that's part of why we're rising up, is because even the coolest teachers, this sister in Tacoma broke it down. She said, Johnny, even the cool teachers get back to the curriculum. And right now, this is the curriculum. Word is born, let's hit the streets. And so now we're headed back to school. And I want to know, as we kind of come on the half hour, what do you think, what do teachers do to continue to learn from that moment?
Right. And to go right, I think exactly to your point, Johnny, to go right back to this moment and say, look, folks are in the street. Folks are in the street making a demand. Now, where is the space that we understand that as the curricular moment? That is the entry point into curriculum. Folks are saying enough is enough, that we are now putting this thing to its test. And we're asking difficult questions because this has deeply affected folks in ways that many of us have known, but now the rest of the world recognizes, right? So there's this real short moment where we can actually say, all right, there are a bunch of things here that are unacceptable. And because they're unacceptable, what are we willing to do in the schoolhouse? What are we willing to do to push that narrative around saying, look, education and school are two different things. Mm. And what are we willing to choose? The orthodoxy? Or are we willing to choose something different that says, this thing isn't acceptable, right? So again, I think this moment, exactly to that teacher in Tacoma, Washington's point, the learning was happening outside of school, where education, where the majority of our education takes place. So now, what can we do to bring those elements inside of our classroom?
But that's that moment, like you're just talking about. I love to think and talk about this. I get really concerned, though, Johnny, when you said, when we get back, that chilling effect, these laws that are coming down, teachers sitting at home at night, superintendents, principals, going like, how do I, literally, like I made the point, and we got 1 minute, Dr. Stovall, could we hold you over for one more segment?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, it's good. I appreciate it because I want to ask about this idea, though, too, of going, if we're going to be prepared to defend, let's give some critical advice to people about what are some of these defenses. And then I really want to talk more about this. Dr. David Stovall, our guest, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, back after the break.